Oh, well, fine. Okay, I'll introduce myself, John Madalevich. I work here and I've helped Eleonora with arranging the workshop. Fine. So we'll breeze through this very quick. So a fair bit of it we've seen before. So just for the context, in conservation spaces, there's huge variation of light in space and time. But if we just look at a bit of ancient history, anyone seen this? 1991, I think, something like this, an ancient bit of radiant simulation. And of course, what we were interested in was the quantitative numbers there. So that was lux values, skylights there. Now, radiance, of course, has to predict this before it can predict the visual part. Yeah. So that's part of the simulation. And of course, those were the first HDR images. Okay, so now, just in terms of simulating long-term exposure, using CBDM, this is an example I gave before. So this is Mount Stewart, Belfast. It's getting far too much light. Again, with simulation, we can do this. It's a space where there was no control on the windows. There was a skylight above, so light was getting in. So it was quite a robust simulation because you didn't have the human element of opening and closing blinds and so forth. And we tested out various interventions to improve things, and they appear to have worked. They were implemented in the space. Now, focus of this is one that you saw before at Padua, Ickworth House. So this is about deriving illuminance from the HDR images now that are taken with a camera. So, I don't know if it's got a proper name. There's an attempt at some kludgy name for it. Illuminance proxy HDR imaging. So there's our space, the smoking room at Ickworth. And the practicality. So this was a challenging place to work in. There was no internet connection that would go into the room. Whoops. Temporary blind slip there. That may have run more temporary than I thought. So we wanted to run HDR captures unattended for months, perhaps, or at least until the camera gave up the ghost. Do various stuff, yeah. There was no Wi-Fi network that we could hook into, but we thought we'd at least generate a little Wi-Fi hotspot from the Mac Mini, so if somebody who did know the password could have a quick look in and see what was happening. So we're just using consumer digital camera, Canon. We'll, for people who are staying for the training tutorial day, we're going to spend quite a while on this, so we'll go into all of those practicalities. It all had to be sort of shoved away in the room under there. And we needed a camera. This is the camera bracket is not an original feature in the room. So we needed certain additions into the room. And when you ask for something like that in a conservation building, that's pretty much the reaction you get. So this got escalated to a very high level in the National Trust to have the approval of those two screws into the wall. So there's a HDR image. There it is in photosphere. Those are the numbers. Okay. Now, if it's a straightforward surface, it's very straightforward to get the illuminance from the HDR luminance. Yeah. If, however, it's like that, it's a little bit more complicated. So we had to work up a reflection map for this. And then over a large enough sample that was representative, determine what the average reflectance was. But then we also needed to, well, so this is hand painted as well, so it's quite variable. So these are gonna be our standard reflectors in the scene. And then we needed to be able to position random samples that would give us the right reflectance if they were just randomly positioned. So a few little trials there, and came up with something that sort of dimension against the pattern will give you a reliable patch size. In fact, you can go to sort of half, that's twice the minimum. So, apply the vignetting correction, we subtract the electrical contribution from this. There's the patches. The placement of the patches requires quite a little bit of judgment. You're not trying to reproduce let's say the effect of small things like window reveal, chimney breast reveal there and so forth. We're just looking at the prevailing illumination field. So to actually extract from measurement what previously you could only do with simulation, and when you do all of that, it's nice, quite almost magical. There's the interpolated daylight illumination field in that space, which all looks very nice, but how good is it? So there's a lot of things. Oh yeah, ghosts are a problem. The National Trust properties, they're a problem wherever you take HDR images. So when a ghost gets in the way of a patch, ghosts tend to have higher reflectance, especially their heads. So this is National Trust stuff. And this causes a bump. Now, we wanted to keep this low level, so yes. So we make a predictable gag, and then we just look at the statistics of the pixels against a clear view. And actually, it's remarkably robust, this approach. So, because there, I mean, even if you eyeball the image, you wouldn't see it, but when you look very, very closely, this person was sort of moving along there and contaminated this patch. So now, what about the actual validation of any of this? So, we did the installation first and then did the validation because of the timing and everything and so forth. So what we did was looked at the HDR-derived illuminances against metered values at a 5-second and also a 10-minute basis, because the HDR captures are at 10 minutes. And we know from the measurements of climate data in this, that locale, that you've got huge variations on levels less than 10 minutes. So how much might we be missing by sampling something that's very variable at 10 minutes intervals as opposed to, let's say, 5 seconds, which should capture everything? So we have one of these logging light meters, which nowadays, thankfully, are reasonably inexpensive, and this was all calibrated and certificated. So measurements every 5 seconds there, every 10 minutes. And this I actually did at home. It was this was very much a worst case scenario, because we had it was a room with a small window, actually allowed direct sun to fall onto this early in the morning. So you've got sun patches going across there, and of course they're going to be moving at quite a rate because it's a small window and you're right at the other end of the room. Also looked at in the centre and the edge of the field. And this was the time series, so the black line is the 5-second trace, and then the blue line is the 5-second data sampled at 10 minutes, and the red line is the HDR derived value, and then this is the cumulative daily light dose for that. And so we're getting a sort of an under prediction. There. Now, I haven't done any calibration or correction on the HDR images yet, so this was just using that response function straight out. I was expecting to apply it, actually to use this to apply a calibration, because this is the intended purpose. There, it's much closer. Actually, some of it is remarkably good. Now, here we've got a case. Oh no, this is not yet direct sun, but that's all still pretty good. Here's a bit of direct sun. Actually, what's interesting here is that the HDR often gave a better daily result than the dose one sampled at 10 minutes. And that's because the HDR is sampling over an area. So even though it's not catching it correctly at any one instant, it's doing a better job over time than just one point in that. And those are all the values. Excluding direct sun, so that'd be everything after sort of 10 a.m. And so we're getting consistent under prediction, but pretty slight. There's all the values, I think. Yeah, including direct sun, there's a lot. And here's the daily dose for those 74 days. And the cumulative values there. Actually, I've sort of lumped the center and edge together. So, not bad. Okay, now let's compare it in situ, because what we have in that space is one Hanwell logger That's usually the case. At best, you'll have one. Often it's just like blue wool or something like that, yeah? Which is just to give you a crude cumulative estimate. So taking patches on side of that, we've also got external measurements. This is the BF5, delta T BF5, so you can get direct and diffuse from this, because there's a clever shadow mask arrangement inside there. So it's a fixed solid state, no moving parts device. And here we've got, so firstly, the green is global horizontal on that scale, and the red is the diffuse horizontal. And of course, where they're different, you're getting a lot of sun contribution there. Now, we've got different sampling rates. So the handwell was actually every 15 minutes, just the way it's configured. These are quite ancient sort of devices, but they're still the standard one used in heritage spaces. And the gray is the 10-minute HDR, and I just filled that one in, and so forth. So, and there's the daily dose value. So the handwell dose a bit higher than the HDR.
And that's just for the little patches next to it?
Yeah, just for the patches, not for the full interpolation. No. So here's a time of much more variation. And actually over the whole time, the handwell was continually less than the HDR van predicted. Oh, actually you get some subtle features here as well. And so I wonder what was going on here with the light levels falling. This is fairly consistent. So you're getting reflection off the varnished floor near the window of sun bits up into the room. So you're catching these very subtle features, which actually be very difficult to get in simulation anyhow. There's another one. Oh, huge variation there. That's a nice, steady, clear day. Again, with that effect. Noisy one. And then overall, so I plotted the daily dose HDR here, and the daily dose handwell here. Which one would you believe? Which one would you trust more, the HDR or the handwell? Given that the HDR was slightly under-predicting against a calibrated illuminance meter, I would believe the HDR, because the handwells was about 10.4% less for this cumulative one. So I think the HDR is doing at least as well as the standard equipment in there. So what does that mean? It means we have a little bit more confidence in our interpolated images, which can be quite nice to look at. And from those, of course, build up the cumulative values. So it's just a couple of days, so that's the cumulative now, so that's the lux hours value. Previous was just instantaneous point in time. There's our handwell instrument is at that point there. And so for that date, there was 521 lux hours at that point on that day. And this one, 636, and so forth. We can't actually use this for validation, because this is just the interpolated daylight illumination field, whereas the handwell will be picking up the electric light, which was happening with the... We were including everything with just the two patches by the side of the handwell beforehand. Now, you may have heard earlier that lunch has arrived. Sorry about that. And I don't want to keep people from them. So other than mention the acknowledgements here, partners on this. So this is kind of ongoing, also taking spectral measurements in the space and so forth. But yeah, I've been pretty brief. And there we have it. Morning and... Oh, sorry, yeah. Right, thank you. Just one question, because you're holding people from lunch.
Very nice talk. It might be interesting to simulate what it would have been, what the comparison would have been if the handle had been placed differently, because, of course, if you're looking at techniques to deploy, you might have gotten lucky in this case with the placement of the handwell.
Well, we have actually, because there were some other handwells in the room for the following year. So we've got 11 months of HDR captures before the Canon 550 shutter just gave out. So that was pretty good. And there's some more handwells, but they're placed on surfaces like this, like the fireplace, so they're getting the reflections up off here, and that's a sort of a luminous microclimate effect that we can't accommodate. And so, yeah, well, another thing that we can in principle do is to actually, because we've got outside global horizontal and diffuse horizontal, is we could try and simulate those illumination fields over, you know, long periods based on the measured data and just see how it compares to the HDR.
That'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting. I suspect it would show up things that are more about the model as well, and we haven't got vegetation outside in the model.
Yeah, you have to sort of do those things in one go. Like, if we just did our best job with the modeling, this is what we ended up with, then we're not going to tweak things.
The model was a lot of work to put together, the 3D model for the simulation. Because one thing I haven't mentioned is that we've also done combined climate-based modeling on the smoking room. So this was to look at intervention scenarios, like changing in opening hours, because the National Trust is under pressure to, it's had to extend its opening hours both during the day and during the year. And this is leading to increased exposure. And the relation might not be straightforward depending on the aspect of the room. It could be opening the shutters 10% more, but getting sort of 30% more exposure if that direct sun is coming in. Okay, so should we try and, if at all possible, start on time half? We'll overshoot. Let's at least try to get here for half. Back in your seats for half one. Yeah. Okay, thank you.